Welcome to the 8th episode of the Weekend Windup. And guess what? We have a new guest. What? Who's calling in? Who's calling in? Oh my god. Let's see. Who's calling in? How do I answer this? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, is this Mr. Alex Pantalakos calling in right when we start the show?
What do you mean, hold on?
Hello?
We don't have time for this.
Called us.
Get to the point.
I'm sorry. I just had to turn off a timer. What's good?
Get it rolling.
You banging out the 75s right now?
Am I doing what?
Are you banging out
the 75s?
No, dude. I'm on the field right now.
Why are you calling us on a field? Where are you?
We have to get
this discussion. He's in Israel.
Are you lost, sir? Are you lost?
No, dude. I'm home putting in work on the field. You already know.
All right. Goodbye.
Yeah, all right. Sorry, we have to hang up on you. Thanks for
you're
calling.
You're zero content.
You're just a terrible
We're only
guest.
Here for content.
You are just terrible.
Thanks for calling in. Nobody else, please call in. We have to get this show done. Thank you. All right, that was interesting, guys.
Good way to start the show.
All right.
Electric, if I do say so myself.
So if you're wondering why we're saying if he's banging on the 75s, a little background. This kid says he does 75-pound dumbbells for warm-ups. Please make fun of him. It's Mr. Alex Pantalakos. Too much school. All right, now we're going to move in.
It's a little twig.
Let's move into our first segment. It's called Where's Flanny? So, guys, we are missing, obviously, Jack Flanny, because I got interrupted, but we have Zach Gilman in the studio today. So, welcome, Zach.
Good morning.
So, where is Flanny, what do you think?
My bet on where Flanny is, ooh, that is a tough one. I'd either say praying at St. A's with his father, or Anne-Marie's got him locked up again. I don't know. Either one.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna take this more political here. I actually think he's off somewhere using alternative facts in his tweets.
Yeah, that's what he does.
That's his thing. Alternative facts.
Yeah, and he calls other people on it too. He's a big hypocrite.
Oh yeah.
Not a communist though. No, gotta respect that.
I mean, I think he's in communist Russia. I mean
the USSR came back and they recruited Flanny first.
They knew, they saw that he had that inner drive to support the communisms.
They knew he did Model UN, so they're like, we gotta have this kid. Model UN, that's
I guess they missed junior year where he got cut from Model UN.
I mean, but the real truth about where Flanny is, yesterday, International Women's Day, you know Flanny's out there. He's at a women's march right now. He's celebrating International Women's Day. He's doing it for his girl, Anne Marie. You gotta respect his game. I mean, he's really putting out for the women. And
the woman.
Oh yeah. He's out there. He's way out there.
All right, so let's transition now. Bunch of Bedford playoff games coming up. We all know the Bedford girls basketball game. We got the hockey game coming up. Congrats. That's where Flanny is, right? Practicing. And then we have the boys basketball as well, playing Merrimack. So what would Roger say?
What would Roger say? All right.
Gilman, what would Roger say? Let's give it a hockey. Bedford versus Concord. What would Roger say?
I'm gonna say shutout. In favor of Concord, 10,000-0. They are somehow going to score every single goal possible, and they will get to 10,000. And it's just going to be a crap show.
Mitchell.
All right, boys basketball, big quarterfinal game, Bedford versus Merrimack.
Huge tilly.
Bedford, I think Bedford won the first match like 50-13.
And we were making fun of Merrimack the whole time.
And we were making fun of Merrimack, but here we go, big David versus Goliath here. Obviously, what happened in the Bible? David won.
David won.
Same thing's going to happen here. David's going to crush Bedford, just like the football semifinal. I'm taking Merrimack over Bedford.
I mean, I got to say, we had David and Goliath in the baseball championship last year. They said their boy David was going to come through and crush Goliath. Bedford baseball. Didn't happen. Goliath took his huge, massive fist and absolutely annihilated David. And in my opinion, I think it's going down again. Bedford wins.
Real quick.
Ooh, bold call. Bold call.
Real quick, did Mr. Roger Brown actually pick Bishop Gurdon over Bedford?
He didn't pick anyone. He said it's going to be a good game, and we're going to see if the underdog can continue their streak.
If it was such a good game, then why didn't he put it on the front page of the newspaper? Why did he put the Division II game on the front page of the newspaper?
He's scared.
Kind of makes you think a little bit.
Scared little boy.
Kind of makes you think.
girls basketball, Manny, go ahead. What would Roger say for the girls basketball game coming up?
I think he's got Pinkerton winning 192-0. Every girl on Bedford basketball.
Possible?
He's got. I saw his take. He's got every girl on Bedford basketball breaking their ankles first period or first quarter. So we're not going to do too hot there. He's saying Pinkerton's got. I mean, he's like Pinkerton, big Pinkerton guy. Not a huge Bedford guy. I don't know why, but once again, Bedford's going down in that one.
I think he actually predicted that the entire Bedford girls team gets bird flu. It's coming back just for the Bedford team.
Swine, maybe swine flu.
Maybe a mixture of the both.
Goat flu, swine flu.
They're all going to catch it at the same time.
Oh,
conveniently
God.
20 minutes
Some
before
influenza.
The game.
That's how David beats Goliath every single time, right?
Yep.
So now we're moving on. Power moves, right? We all know what power moves are. We all do them every day. Gilman, give me a power move. What's power move of the week?
Ooh, putting me on the spot.
I'll go first. I got a good one. All right. So, Syracuse men's basketball team.
Flanny.
Shout out to Flanny. They lost the first round of the ACC tournament to Miami. Big disappointment. They're now like major bubble team for the NCAA tournament. We're not sure if they're going to get in. After the game, Jim Boeheim says there's zero value to playing in Greensboro, North Carolina, where the ACC tournament games are held. So, Greensboro, the city of Greensboro,
tweets
response to this in a tweet saying, Jim, you can lose in the first round anywhere, bud.
Oh.
Major power move.
When you get roasted by a city.
When a city roasts you,
a city actually
that's
has
when
a
you
Twitter.
Know. Major power move sending out this tweet. Love it.
You got to respect it.
Oh, yeah.
Manny, give me a power move.
All right, my power move is we got this big fan. I really thought I was going to see a Bills Mafia move here, but it ends up being Tennessee Titans. So we got Tennessee Titans guy gets a tattoo on his forearm. Big tattoo, covers the whole forum. 2017 ASC South Champions. Power move of the week, because what kind of an idiot thinks that Tennessee Titans are going to win the AFC South? Everyone knows that they're absolute trash, and I mean, this guy, he's going to figure out how to get rid of that, because
it's not
lasting
very long. They do it simply for attention, because you know that they're going to get on Twitter, they're going to get on the news, they're going to get, you know, big on social media.
Have the Tennessee Titans ever won the AFC South?
How long has the AFC South been around?
No clue.
Who even
AFC
is
South?
In the AFC
what
South?
What is the AFC
what?
South?
I'm pretty sure a team with a losing record can win the AFC
no,
South.
No, it's the Texans, the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah. That's the
I'm
worst.
Pretty sure the Texans were either 8-8 or 9-7.
Yeah, they were
7-9-7.
9-7,
and they won the AFC
Actually,
South.
Actually, anything's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up winning the AFC South, right?
Actually, who puts AFC South? Like, put Super Bowl champions. That's even worse.
Oh, that's the other thing. Like, that's like the Colts raising the, you know,
yeah, the
AFC
participation banner.
Yeah. We don't give that crap out here.
We were here banner.
We give perfect season banners, right? Anyways, my power move, Buccaneers. Also, like, another, like, what kind of team, right? Who's man's, right?
Deshaun they won a Super Bowl. They were relevant at one point.
They were.
Not anymore,
they
though.
I remember they hosted the Super Bowl. I don't remember, like, ever them playing, but throwback. DeSean Jackson, they signed DeSean Jackson. Like, why? First off, a few questions. Why would DeSean Jackson want to go there? I heard it's because they have no income tax.
No. I've seen that. That's a big piece.
Gang violence, big in Tampa.
Yeah, also true. Because
very appealing to DeSean Jackson.
He is part of a gang. You see him throwing up the signs all the time. You can't. Hey, big if true, but I'm just saying. We don't know. All right, now we're going to move on to the Sportsman of the Week, the Whitmore Sportsman of the Week.
Whitmore Award.
What
up? Shout out Whitmore.
All right, so Mitch, give me your sportsman this week.
All right, my sportsman, Whitmore Award Sportsman of the Week this week goes to an Ohio State English professor for letting one of his students get an extension on one of the essays they had to write because she recently had a breakup with her boyfriend and couldn't focus enough to write the paper.
Boo.
Triggered.
Boo.
This is
PC
this,
culture.
This,
sad.
This professor, this professor knows what's up. He knows what's going on.
That professor is just saying sup. That's what he's
oh,
saying.
Yeah.
He's saying
oh,
sup.
Yeah.
You know the professor slid in with his ex immediately as soon as he did that. That's why he gave an extension.
No, it's a chick.
He slid in with his student. That's a big sup.
Yeah, it was the girl that sent the email. Kind of makes you think, right, what is this professor getting into? Otherwise, big sportsman move. Really, you know, teaching the kids what life is really about.
I think it's the exact opposite because this is now just PC culture and now everyone gets a trophy and everyone gets an extension. Hey, I feel sad today. I'm just not going to do my homework. Oh,
I mean, you know what? Perfect. Honestly, I think the reason you're saying that is because you know this will never happen to you because you'll never have a girlfriend, so there's no reason for you to worry about a breakup.
Wow, hot take.
Same with you, Manny. All right. Manny, give me a sportsman.
All right. My sportsman is Brandon Marshall for signing with the Giants. Don't know really what he was thinking there. Rip in peace to his career.
So Brandon Marshall, yeah, he's really been a bit of a nobody.
He's kind of washed
lately, right? But I actually saw this stat, Sabermetrics here. He's actually done really, really well the first year he's been with each team. And then every other year after that, he stinks.
Well, the fact that he's been with multiple teams and, you know, like a bunch of teams shows that people don't want him.
Right. 2 years ago, the first year when he was with the Jets, he did really well.
Yeah.
That he did so well, he thought he was going to bet his car and with AB and Antonio Brown and win.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get more receptions than him.
But the actual,
then this year, like this past year, he sucked. It was awful.
The only reason that he went to New York in the first place, like the Jets, was because of his show he had on HBO. Like he had a show that was
Yeah. Oh, so New York.
So that's I don't even respect that move at all. So he's trying to stay in New York, which can't even respect that really. So me, my sportsman of the week, college kid pays $140 parking ticket with 14,000 pennies. Can't even respect that. That's just awful.
That's a total sportsman move.
I'll respect that.
Yeah, you got to respect that.
Gilman, what's your take? What's your take, Gilman?
I mean, I got a parking ticket recently for, I got on like Melbourne when I went to the parade. Because apparently I'm not allowed to park in the middle of the street. But anyways, I mean, I didn't want to pay that thing. I didn't pay it. But I mean, I guess my mom took it and she paid it. So I can respect not wanting to pay it with actual cash and giving them a bunch of pennies. I mean.
Where do you get the pennies though? Good question, right?
A bank.
Change. You just save your change. I guess.
I mean, I got mad penny. I mean, not a lot of pennies. I'm not a big penny guy.
Pennies.
I like the quarters.
Something tells me Zach's a penny guy. I don't know why. Oh.
Kind of makes me think.
But I mean.
I'm a big saver. I'm a big saver.
I mean, you got to respect it. Gilman ranged over here. He's got a good little resume for himself.
Hmm. All right, ready? So big if true, right?
Yep.
So we already know this. Kind of talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. So my big if true this week is Tony Romo to Houston. Although it might not be true. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet, but it's a
big
rumor.
It's big. Especially with the recent thing with Brock Osweiler going to the, where was it?
Breaking news.
Cleveland, yeah. Breaking news. You're welcome. So big if true, how do you guys feel about this? Gilman, what's your take?
Romo to Houston. I mean, I like the move. I don't know. I like Romo more in white. I'm kind of thinking color scheme right now. Romo seems to be more attractive in white. I really would have liked to see him. Maybe Titans would have looked good on him, or I mean, I'm not really sure who else is looking for a QB. I mean, I think he actually might go to Washington now because
the Washington Football Club. Because we don't say their name, right?
Washington, yeah, Washington Football
Washington
Club.
Washington R words.
Yeah, yeah, we don't say their name on here. This is public radio.
Yep.
Washington Indians.
My take: Tony Romo to Houston. I think this makes Houston a legit contender for second place in the AFC.
Second place,
yep. I think they never had a stable quarterback. Brock Osweiler was a bunch of junk. So
he's not washed up yet.
Romo is clearly the answer here with all his back surgeries. Clearly the answer.
If Romo can stay healthy, I think they're a legit contender for second place.
Oh, that's a hot take.
Who cares about second place? Yeah. Who wants to contend for second place?
I do.
Right.
So, Mitch, what's your big if true? Kind of staying on the football topic.
Big if true, yep. Big NFL free agency news. Adrian Peterson reportedly would take a pay cut to play with the Patriots.
Oh.
Big if true.
Huge.
I'm
a big Peterson guy. Yeah. I would
You're also a big
Honestly,
Rich Incognito and
up,
Michael Vick
lie. Kind
of guy, too.
Yeah, I'm a big, you know.
I mean, Gilman's all about Michael Vick.
Second chances. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a second chance.
Gilman's a second chance guy.
I'm a big second chance guy. I mean, like, I'll give guys maybe 2-3 chances, and once they prove themselves, I'll buy their jersey.
If they're a good football player, then you'll say whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as you're good at something, you make a lot of money, you can do what you want.
Off the field incidents don't matter.
Yeah. No, they don't
mean anything.
Character
on the field
does
Adrian
not matter.
Peterson is a good running back.
And then what's the other trade, Mitchell?
Oh yeah, and other thing with the Pats. Rumors flowing around here: Brandon Cooks, New Orleans Saints wide receiver, for Malcolm Butler, the famed cornerback with the amazing interception in Super Bowl 49. So, I don't know how I feel about this trade. I don't think the Patriots need a wide receiver.
But, no, what this shows is that they don't, because obviously what the rumors come out, this shows that Bill Belichick doesn't really trust the current wide receiver core he has right now.
Especially they just won a Super Bowl with the current
wide
receiver.
Well, Danny Amendola's getting older and he might not even come back. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
So why not get Brandon Cooks young and, you know, proven?
Brandon Cooks is a similar player to Edelman. They don't need another Edelman. They need like a Calvin Johnson type of player.
Chris Hogan's a similar player to Julian Edelman.
Ooh, I like Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan goes deep though. Edelman's like a short guy, short pass guy, short yardage guy going across the middle.
I want to see another James Devlin come to the Patriots.
He just signed an extension with the Patriots.
I'm a big James Devlin kind of guy. Gilman, are you?
Grit.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
James Devlin.
James Devlin
Devil it is
the grit king, let me tell you.
You know what we need is Danny Woodhead.
When you look up grit, when you look up grit in the dictionary, James Devlin is the picture.
He went to Brown. He played football.
Brown is not grit.
Lunch pail mentality comes up every day. Just wanting to get lunch. Just wants to get better. What more could you want in a football guy?
Salt of the earth kind of guy, right there.
He eats a ham sandwich every single day. That's grit.
That's true. So now, Manny, you have a big if true. This is kind of it's still the NFL. The NFL wife, I guess.
I mean, so today we got some news that possibly, it's big if true, Samantha Ponder to replace Chris Berman on NFL Countdown. I mean, this is interesting here.
Doesn't work. Because she's not going to do fastest three minutes.
I just don't think she fits the job. I mean, you got NFL Countdown. You just got to, it needs to be loose, relaxed. She could be in the hardo category. She's taking things way too seriously. I don't think she fits the role.
Major hardo. Also, though, the real reason ESPN's doing this, we all know.
She's a mama.
She is
foxy lady.
A little more appealing to look at than Chris Berman, to put it nicely.
Next segment, we have Rip in Peace. So we all know what that is. Someone's who, like, is he dead yet? Right, Gilman? Like, is he dead yet? Right?
Yeah.
Kind of like an is he dead yet? Like, this person's career is over. Like, so Mitch, give me your, right. Whose career is over this week?
Okay, all right. This isn't a person, but this is big, big news coming out.
Huge.
Starburst has proposed an idea. Actually, they're going to do this. It's not an idea. This is happening. They're releasing packages with only pink Starbursts.
See, that ruins it because you need the variety.
So, no.
A surprise.
So, rip in peace to red, yellow, and orange because who's going to buy? I'm not going to buy. Pink is the favorite by far.
No.
I'm not
going to
buy.
I'm a huge fan.
Maybe in Mitch's world, but. You think?
I'm a yellow-orange kind of guy.
I just lost any respect I had for you.
See, orange and red are fine, but if you go, if you cross that line, you go to yellow.
You're a beta male.
You got to tang the tongue every once in a while with the yellow.
I'm all for Tangy Tuesdays, but I mean, not every day.
That's what I'm saying. Tangy Tuesdays with the yellow, but you can't get that anymore if all you have is pink.
True. See, that's why you need a variety.
But pink is just so good.
So, Gilman, how do you feel about this? What's your take?
My take is, I mean, I like orange the best, so, I mean, pink.
Oh
you called yourself.
Orange. Whoa.
Gilman, you called yourself.
Red and pink. Back off, everybody.
Gilman.
Oh, quiet over there, Mr. Communist.
You called yourself an alpha dog last show. You can't be an alpha dog if you only like orange Starburst.
I don't only like orange Starburst. It's just pink is not, like, something I'm striving for. I'm more excited when I open up an orange one. I mean, orange, I like the color. Red doesn't taste too good, but I like the color red.
Better idea. Ooh, they make all the packages white, and then you get a surprise every time you open the
Starburst. Like the mystery Airhead, except it wasn't a mystery.
It was just
pineapple.
Yep.
I don't hate that idea.
It's a good idea. So, Manny, what's your rip in peace? This is kind of staying on. Well, this is different because we're talking about sports this time.
So, my rip in peace is Michael Jordan saying the ceiling is the roof. I mean, this is kind of sad here, but it's like, you can't say ceiling is the roof when you're Michael Jordan. The guy's been out here knocking through the roof day after day, and he's saying that's the ceiling? He freaking piles through the roof like every other day when he was in the NBA, and now he's like, oh, that's the roof. I mean, Michael Jordan, big guy, gotta respect it, but that comment just can't be happening.
I mean,
breaking news. Daron Harmon has signed an extension with the New England Patriots. 4 years, $20 million.
My question is, who is that?
Okay.
Who is that?
You obviously don't watch the end of Patriots game because he's always the guy who gets the interception to seal the game, but you never see him during the game.
Oh, yeah. I know who this is. I recognize his name. Yeah, they always say his name.
He's one of those
football.
Rutgers guys that Belichick drafts. He's one of those cornerbacks. He's like one of the four of them.
Belichick, big Rutgers guy. Got to respect it.
big Rutgers guy.
All right. Just had to interrupt there. Continue. Rip in peace. Matt?
Mine? All right. Well, mine is kind of literal. I mean, or not really. He's just broken leg.
No, it's literal.
He's dead. His career. Yeah, he's dead. Andrew Bogut, Dallas Mavericks formerly, right? And Golden State Warriors. But this time he decides to sign with the Cavs because who doesn't want to sign with the Cavs, right?
Everybody.
It was Andrew Bogut's team, right? Am I not mistaken, Gilman? It was Andrew Bogut's team.
It was a mix between Andrew Bogut and Deron Williams.
But then 46 seconds into right after he checks in at the scorer's table, breaks his leg.
I think the year. Also another power move. He's saying, I'm taking that money.
He's collecting the $480,000. Like, yeah.
He was too caught up in the feud of whose team is it between Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut.
And Kyle Korver.
He decided to opt out of that and just broke his own leg.
It's a genius move. It's also maybe a power move. Think about it.
Or stay woke on this.
What if he already had the broken leg, right? And the Cavs didn't even notice it. So maybe we audit their whole medical staff.
So he's thinking, I'm going to collect a nice paycheck of $480,000. Maybe get myself a ring, even though I hadn't played 46 seconds.
Yep.
I'm kind of buying that.
I like it. Australian guy, right? He's from Australia.
Never trust him.
Never trust him.
Real success story. You can make a documentary out of that.
All right. Now we're going to our classic Hardo of the week.
Hardo.
So,
Hardo.
Mitch, start me off with the Hardo.
All right. Here we go. Local Hardo here. Bedford High School school store. Matt.
Why? I don't need to be called out for this.
You work it, correct?
Yeah, I am a member of the Dog Pound. I rep the Dog Pound apron.
Yep. All right. Back sophomore, freshman year, they would sell the best cookies, two for a dollar.
Yep.
The OG Dog Pound cookies.
They're back now, though.
We had to get rid of them because of different reasons. There's different
Obama.
Theories.
Rip Michelle.
Michelle Obama's Obama. One of them.
See, this is Melania's
Bill,
America.
Bill Hagen's another. But here we go. Hardo. It's now one cookie for a dollar.
So you blame me for this.
I'm not blaming you.
You call me a Hardo.
Yeah, it's because you and your communist beliefs trying to bring the money back to the school instead of raising our economic value.
All right, now let me finish this.
Take that mask off.
So let this be known that the school store competes with, or we're not allowed to really compete with the cafeteria because the cafeteria in the high school makes all the money for the school district. So it is important for us to kind of limit the sales that happens at the school store. So we make it a dollar, which gets us more money, but
Boo-hoo.
at the same time, we're not giving cafeteria, you know, any losses. All right, so you guys are just hating on me for this. It's not okay. Manny, give me your Hardo.
All right. So my Hardo is we got a five-year-old in the National Spelling Bee. This is some classic stuff here because, honestly, I mean, my sister was in the elementary spelling bee.
I was in the regionals. Sorry, don't mean to brag. Nerds.
All right. How's that going for you, Provost, now?
Well.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
We're done. Thank you. Okay. And then we got a five-year-old in the National Spelling Bee. I've watched some of these kids. They're impressive. But a five-year-old? I didn't even know five-year-olds could speak, to be honest with you.
Nope.
I don't even know they knew how to talk.
Kid's a nerd.
It's a Hardo move.
Matt, you definitely couldn't even read when you were five.
Oh, actually, I could.
He's a real nerd.
I don't think they teach you how to read in communist countries by the time you're five.
I could actually read by the time I was five.
And write?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, my Hardo of the week is Tim Tebow, although I did not really choose this Hardo because I'm a big Timmy Tebow guy. But apparently, I mean, I guess it's kind of a Hardo move. He wants to adopt a kid from every single country.
Oh, God.
I respect him. Hold on,
real quick.
Not every country.
It's every continent.
Let's get
There's
that
like
straight.
200 countries. That
get
would
the
be insane.
Straight.
Continent.
All right. Continent. Same thing.
Loved it. Come on. Get him next week. Okay. But Tim Tebow, great. You got to respect what he's doing here. I mean, he's really one of those people that really likes to give back. He's a wholehearted guy.
Remember he saved the guy's life when he was doing the Arizona Fall League? Some guy like collapsed when he was watching the game and he comes over
he's
and like
the second coming of Christ. That's a well-known fact.
Remember we go back to the also discussion of
that's
him.
That's not even a stay woke. That's just a fact. By
who would you rather have signed your
woke,
Bible?
It's a fact.
Who would you rather have signed your Bible, Tim Tebow or Jesus?
He could sign anything, honestly.
Another stay woke here. How's he going to adopt a kid from Antarctica?
Can't.
The Inuits.
No. Nobody
lives
in Antarctica.
They don't live down there.
I live in Antarctica.
I could say scientific station.
It would not be appropriate. Antarctica is going to be gone soon.
For this program. I thought of something real quick, but not going to say it.
Penguins, maybe? He's going to adopt a penguin?
That'd be pretty cool.
That's the best I could think of.
I don't know. There are a lot of Eskimos up there who are not so strong.
Antarctica's the other one.
Ah. Whoops.
All right. So now we're going to move on to the Jerry of the Week.
Perfect segue here.
Perfect.
My Jerry this week is actually Tim Tebow.
Once again.
Fitting multiple segments here. All right. So, reason he's my Jerry. Played in his first professional spring training game yesterday. Facing the Red Sox. Rick Porcello's on the mound. Pretty Ricky.
Oh, pretty Ricky.
First at-bat Tim Tebow ever had. Struck out looking, looked at four strikes.
But what did he do before that? That was the
thing. Okay, so his at-bat, he struck out looking, looked at four strikes. There was one of them right down the middle. I'm called it a ball. It was ridiculous. Pity call.
Yep.
Before his at-bat, though, he gets up and he walks over to the Red Sox warm-up circle and starts taking practice swings. His explanation for this was he thought you warm up on the same side of the plate you hit.
No.
Nope.
He played, apparently, okay, he's one of the best players in high school baseball for Florida, but you don't even do that in
high school. Apparently they don't have warm-up circles in Florida.
No, apparently not.
I guess because he didn't know how to use them.
Sad.
I mean, the best part about this, what in my opinion, was as soon as he struck out, the crowd erupted in boos. I mean, almost as bad as the Roger Goodell boo. It was incredible. I mean, Tim Tebow, I don't know how he comes out on the field every day bad as he is at baseball and still plays.
But then when he grounds out into a double play, they all cheer for him. Was that a sarcastic cheer or was that a good job? You finally hit the ball.
Sarcasm, or you finally hit the ball. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pity cheer, definitely.
So my Jerry of the Week is Reuben Foster, Alabama linebacker?
Alabama linebacker, yeah. Bama. Former Alabama linebacker.
Former, and maybe never an NFL player.
Maybe. We'll see.
Because they're going to, weigh in, right, for the
physical. They're in line for the physical, yeah.
So he goes up to the doctor, waiting in line, long line. Hey, we're not lion guys here. We don't like lines, right?
No, nobody likes lines.
Pain in the neck.
This not guy a fan of lines.
Yeah, but this guy goes up to him and says, the doctor cuts the line and says, do you know who I am? And then gets kicked out of the combine. So
this is the other thing. He tried to start a fight with the guy giving the physicals. Or
you don't do that.
Right.
Maybe he's like, get physical. No, it's like a physical. Like you have to like take a physical. Boo.
It's a nice effort.
Yeah, it's right after school. I'm kinda tired. Mitch? Or sorry, Manny?
What's your Jerry going over there? All right, I got you, buddy. So my Jerry of the Week is Yoenis Cespedes' younger brother, 19 years old.
Yoelkis.
So young, 19 years old. I mean, great guy. So he's playing for the Cuba in the World Baseball Classic right now. Starts the game out. I mean, I don't know if it's first at bat, maybe second. Hits a yik yak, absolute tank. And now we see him back in the dugout afterwards. And guess what he's doing? Sipping a juice box. I mean, absolute Jerry move to sip a juice box in the dugout.
Well, he's 19.
But, I mean, is he 19 or 5 years old? There's a difference, Matt.
But there's also relativity, right? You know, like he's sitting in the dugout with 35-year-old.
Well, I thought science wasn't
technically fact.
Statutory juice box sipping.
So that's our discussion segment. Thanks for coming in, guys. Thanks, Gilman. Good time. We'll continue it. Bergie, Jack Bergie interview. Sitting in the studio. Guys ready for it?
No. We're ready.
All right.
Maybe.
Surfing the wave. All the girls are surfing the wave.
Welcome back to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. And now we'll move into one of our favorite segments, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. In a battle spanning multiple continents, the Ichigos came unprepared for the voyage to Antarctica, as the penguin's defenders looked to be frozen out there. Global warming is clearly taking its toll on the Asian island nation, as the Ichigos had never experienced anything so cold as the daggers the penguins sank into their hopes of the winning season. Penguins iced the Ichigos 44-36.
A golden ending to a golden season led the Golden Grizzlies to an undefeated season comparable to the typical performance of the United States in the Olympics. Just like in this game, the Grizzlies got ahead early on in the season and never looked back, leaving all the other inferior countries in the dust, scrapping for silver and bronze. Unfortunately, for the Black Knights, they had to end their season with a stab in the back, as the Golden Grizzlies stayed atop the podium in the gold medal game by a score of 50-30.
The Aggies continued their improbable run to the top by taking advantage of the dirtbag team that is, had a few of their best players stuck in the mud. Despite the solid effort of their ground-level players, the Dirtbags were unable to lift themselves out of the soil the Aggies used for crops. Aggies profit off the Dirtbags, 63-48.
Everyone always tells you to eat your fruits and veggies, and if this game was any indication of what these foods do to you, then boy are you in for a treat. The orange and the pickles went back and forth all game, trading seed for seed, peel for peel, and juice for juice. It took two overtimes before the orange were finally able to win the taste test, adding a pinch of sugar to their shots to squeeze out a win over the Pickles, 49-47.
In one of the most hyped games of the year, the Bakers came out hotter than their ovens, but quickly cooled off as the Blue Hose extinguished their opponent's heat. The Blue Hose pulled away after an accident in the kitchen caused the Bakers to stop, drop, but most importantly, roll their chances of winning out the door. Blue Hose pulled the Bakers' blaze, 38-25.
A couple of Blue Hens broke out of their coop, running wild all over the farm before the pack of wolves nearby spotted a snack. In all the pandemonium and all the madness, the Blue Hens faded to the blackness after the Wolfpack had a feast for the ages. Hashtag Wolfpack, devour the weak like chicken Blue Hens, 58-39.
In the second overtime thriller of the day, the Trojans speared the Owls with the blind shots in the dark, hitting crazy shots left and right to send the Owls back to their perches in the L column. Despite having all their members of the Parliament back, the Owls couldn't enforce their legislation on the barbaric Trojans. Trojans cut the wings off the Owls, 52-51.
In a desperate attempt to win their first game, the Koalas came out scratching and clawing at the tree, getting on higher ground before the Flying Dutchmen were able to prepare for takeoff. However, the Dutchmen flew back to reality after a turbulent first quarter, sending the Koalas back down their trunks into the cellar of the league. Flying Dutchmen send the Koalas on a nosedive, 53-46.
Mm-hmm. So here we have some interesting guests in here. We have two different bitty teams in here. So we have Reed Kirkpatrick from the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, correct?
Yes, sir.
And with Jeff Mosso from the Youngstown State Penguins, also Mitchell Roy's team.
Represent.
Right? Represent. That's right. Also, more basketball. They're basketball lifers. They also the captains of the unified basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So talk about the unified season real quick. How's that going? What's your record? You know, you guys?
We played first round of playoffs. We played West at home.
Big Tilly.
It was a big game. Big crowd. We ended up beating them by a lot. MVP in that game was Brett Kane. He's been our leading scorer throughout the whole year. He dropped 33 of our 39 points. He just led our team throughout the whole season. And then yesterday we played up in Somersworth. It's near the border of Maine. And
it's way up there.
Way up there.
Yeah. It's out in the sticks.
We played a double overtime game. Ended up losing.
That's tough.
It was a great season.
Double overtime.
Yeah.
Reed, how'd you do in that game?
I played out of my mind. I'm not going to be shy about it. I feel like if there was an all-star in Unified,
we'd both be
an all-star team, I would be first team selection unanimously.
But all right, so let's explain Unify a little bit. Yes. So you guys have the athletes, correct?
Yes.
The athletes can shoot and score, but yes, that's it.
That's right.
You guys are not the athletes. You guys are the volunteers.
Peers. Yep.
Yep, the peers. So all-star passer, all-star rebounder,
all-star
defender, blocker.
You really go for
the ball up the court.
You really go hard for those boards.
It's surprising how many times I get fans after the game come up and like, I've never seen a pass like that since like Jason Kidd was in the league.
It's a grind. Yesterday, you know, peers from other towns, since we're Bedford, we've got a target on our back.
Yeah.
Every sport.
And
it's, everybody
see,
hates
we're
Bedford.
New standard.
Unified, not unified, date. Bedford, not liking.
Beginning not of liked. Overtime, the first overtime, me and Reed, I mean, being the two captains of the team, we're the best players. And we were taking the ball up the court, and I was targeted pretty hard. And
oh, wow.
Two defenders went through me. I split them. The crowd wanted me out of the game because I was too tall. Said
really?
It wasn't fair.
Did this actually happen?
We made some chance.
Really?
Not really chance.
He's too tall.
Some jeers from...
Some jeers?
Some Somersworth fans that
oh,
were
oh, yeah,
a
the fans
salty.
Actually...
Didn't know they have fans.
Yeah, it was rowdy.
They have fans.
It was rowdy. When it... Unified Somersworth is up there with the best of them.
It's, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's D1.
Yeah.
They're playing Bedford.
They love it. We love it.
I mean...
NH loves it.
Talk about that first game against West at Bedford. You guys had a pretty decent fan section for that one?
Yeah, I mean...
Round one of playoffs?
First round of playoffs.
Round one in the playoffs, yep.
We had to get the nerves out. The team was all jittery.
Yep.
But Brett was just in the zone, focused.
Brett the Jet.
He's
got ice in his veins.
No one stops him when he's going down the court, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's unstoppable.
He's huge, too. Like, you put him down low, can he...
He's like...
Can he be stopped?
He's like, no. Shaq meets Durant meets...
Brett Diesel.
LeBron.
That's
like the closest you can get to him, because he's better than that.
How many points a game would you say he averages?
20.
20?
25.
Yeah. He scores two-thirds of the points for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, 33 out of 39 in West, I think he makes the perfect candidate for player
33
of the year.
Points, that's like Isaiah Thomas numbers he's putting up.
Yeah. I mean, when your team only scores 39, no one can do that.
That's a
Brett Kane thing.
Just MVP of the league, just name him
right now. Brett
Kane.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah. On paper.
Interesting fact you guys told me. Recently, I think you told me this, Jeff, the other day.
Yep.
You guys were 4-2. That's a good record.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable record.
And finished in 15th place in the state.
15th. That's
insane.
I mean, and then
do any of these teams lose? Or
no.
Like,
I just was looking at it a second ago. Exeter undefeated, 9-0.
So they played 9 games and you only played 6. How is that fair?
We got a couple of rainouts.
Oh, rainouts.
Rainouts on the court. Yeah. You guys play street ball?
No.
You play street ball, but you just don't play in the street, right?
So Exeter was good.
Somersworth, they were an undefeated team. They only played 4 games.
That's
but
so, like,
still
it's
unreal.
Always with the basketball teams in the middle of nowhere. They always have like Keene.
Yeah.
You know, they always have an edge.
Fun fact, number 40 on Somersworth. Shout out to you if you're listening. probably are.
He's definitely listening.
Yeah.
New Hampshire's best hour of sports radio right here.
Yeah,
everybody in the
that.
State listens.
105.1.
You're a class player. I helped you up when you fell. He actually plays varsity football for them as well.
Big dude?
And
yeah, very big dude.
His muscles were like close to mine, but I'm not going to say like who's stronger. But
you're probably pretty strong. Yeah, I would say Reed, you're strong.
I went to
I
one
don't
game.
Like to talk trash.
What game did you go to?
I went to the Londonderry game.
What did you think? Oh, was that the heartbreaking loss? We lost
was
the same way.
Senior night.
Senior night.
On senior, it always stinks when you lose on senior night.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's all right.
Keen, I believe you at one point had told me was really good as well.
They
had a couple, these twins that I hear that can dunk.
Both of them dunked.
Did they dunk in the game?
Warm-ups.
That's a technical foul. Do they know that?
The refs weren't out yet.
Let them play.
We do that, too.
You know, Unified's like the street ball.
Yeah, let them play.
High school basketball.
Just
let the boys
all right.
play.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. I like that.
I can respect it, right?
But that's pretty insane that these kids are dunking. No, you don't see people dunking in NHIAA Division I.
Reed, this might be
varsity.
This might be like a rumor, but I heard you almost got banged on in the Keen game.
Uh-oh.
Common misconception.
Stuart Kirkpatrick.
I have a twin brother, Stuart Kirkpatrick.
I was told it was you.
Bless his soul.
I was told it was you.
It was actually
Stuart
him.
Got dunked on.
It was actually him who almost... Well, all right, here's the thing. This guy, 6'5", West player, starts pressing on Stuart, bringing the ball up. Stuart's trying to put him on skates, shake and bake, but the kid kicks the ball, grabs it.
Street ball, so they're not going to call it.
Yeah, they don't call anything.
Yep. Street ball.
You know, West, they like it tough. They like to do, you know.
Oh, it's West Side. It's city living.
The atmosphere at West was unlike any other atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, fan section?
They have a small gym, and they pack
they do.
It.
It's cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders
and everything.
Signs.
Wow.
Crowd every time they score.
People jeering me in warm-ups.
It felt like we were down by 20 when we were actually up by 10.
That's why you want home field advantage, home court advantage.
That just shows how good of a mentally strong team we are. We got on the road, faced some tough adversity, and that led us to be my next topic, which is now the Unified team is the top puppy, the whole team.
The top puppy award.
That's probably going to be the most top puppies ever at once.
I know.
It's a lot of puppies.
That's like a litter.
Who doesn't like puppies?
So the runt of the litter was probably Jeff, if I had to guess?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah.
The least top
Jeff,
puppy?
Jeff, first round playoffs, comes in, can't play, got a concussion.
Yeah.
Like...
That's pretty soft.
I don't know.
I wanted to play.
Couldn't, though.
He was cleared, but he couldn't play.
That's what we like to call soft here on Bedford 105.1. We can wind up.
I'll wear that.
Maybe Jerry, even.
Kid on West.
No.
Kid on West said he tore his ACL in the game. But
he's still playing.
He walked off the court.
He walked off of the torn
walked
ACL.
Off the court
he tore an ACL. He didn't actually tear his ACL.
He told me to meet him at the GPS fields later to play lacrosse.
Grit.
Kid's fake.
So, Unified season overall, good, decent.
Best season we've had
Best
so
season
far.
We've ever had. All right.
Yeah. So, like, you also have, like, a Biddy team, too.
Biddy, yeah.
That's right.
Your other basketball team.
I know.
Team.
This takes, like, a side. It's, like, not important, but I know.
Biddy's important.
So, Reed, we're going to start with you.
All right.
Captain of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. First undefeated team.
Ooh.
That's it. In my time in Biddy, you're the only undefeated team. Ever.
Wait till this upcoming week, though. You might not be.
I'm going to say on live air right now.
On live air,
guarantee I beat the Koalas.
That's a Reed guarantee. That's a Kirkpatrick guarantee.
Matt Provost
There's
is
no
on the
chance.
Koalas.
There's no chance, Matt.
Right. So this is what we got. First round of the playoffs coming up. Number one seed versus the number 16 seed. Undefeated versus what we like to call defeated.
Just a hypothetical... I mean, what would you do if the 16 seed beats the 1 seed? What would the town of Bedford do?
It's not going to happen.
It would have just happened.
I don't even think we could consider this a hypothetical. It's just not going to happen.
Like the Trump riots, but a little worse.
What are you, Reed, I have a question. What are you personally going to do if you guys lose to the Koalas in the first round of playoffs?
My Biddy career is over.
I would
hang up the shoes. I'm not playing next
year. You're playing varsity basketball next year.
No, you never play another basketball game again.
My family breeds success. What can I say?
If I'm the only undefeated team in the last 4 years, and I lose in the first round of the playoffs to the only team in the last 4 years to not win a game in the regular season,
you're done.
Basketball career is over. You're not coming back from that.
Probably not.
You're done.
No.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
I'm not even worried about it. Like that doesn't even cross my mind until now.
So you, we have one of your Unified teammates on our on my co-captain, right? Josh Gould.
Josh Gould?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My co-captain.
Yeah, he's really not that good at Unified.
Ouch. Wow.
I have a question for you.
Fired.
I have a question for you, Matt. How do you feel that Josh Gould told me yesterday he's going to shoot every single shot?
Oh, wow.
He said he's playing the whole game, which I said that is 100% what we need.
As the bitty commissioner, as the great commissioner I am, captains have to sit once a half. So I'm sorry, Josh, bud. You're going to have to sit at one point at least in each half. But that's all right. I still give you guys about a 0.00001% chance of beating the Golden Grizzlies. So
why would you even give
them? It's bitty. Anything can happen. So, I mean, we also have Jeff sitting right here next to Reed.
That's right.
So I heard your bitty team's awfully mediocre. Mind going into who's the leader of this team? Who, you know, who's the real driving force behind this team?
I'm not going to let Mitch say anything. I'm the heart and soul of the team. I am the hype beast. I get the troops going. I know I missed the game because of my concussion. It happens. I fell skiing. But I'm gonna come back this week strong, and I'm gonna Stuart, Joey, Donnie, just don't even show up. I know Joey's not going because Joey doesn't. That's
Joey's not committed.
He does. He's not committed.
He's not committed to his team. Here at the Youngstown State Penguins, we're all committed except Jeff. He's
real quick,
a little soft.
Stuart just called Jeff. You said you're the weakest big man in the league.
Oh,
Stuart Kirkpatrick.
Wow.
He said that.
He did say that. Any retaliation for him?
Catch me on the court. Reed, back me up.
Jeff says after school he's going to the executive to lift weights with his trainer. I don't know if that's true.
Jeff doesn't lift.
Maybe he's just getting the free food there.
No free food.
Maybe he's paying for the food there. I don't know. Maybe he's taking tennis lessons.
I'll tell you what he's doing at the executive. He's taking tennis lessons. And then after that, he's taking a nice dip in the pool.
That's no lifting.
Okay, first thing, tennis courts are reserved. Second thing, pool. There's people in the pool all the time.
Yeah, but but you hop in there and take a couple laps.
All right, we'll see when I strike out the strikeout record for the
We're not talking about
here.
We're talking about basketball here.
You also get the walk record for the high school team, too.
that happens. Wow, I didn't get that, but I was close.
Let's stay on Biddy here.
Yeah, all right. Yes.
So Blue Hens, Jeff and I, Youngstown State Penguins teammates. Jeff was my first round pick.
That's right.
You're welcome.
You're the one calling me soft, but I'm the one that's leading your team to victory.
We had a nice win last week, and you weren't playing over a solid University of Tokyo Ichigo team.
They're awful. They're 5-6. All right, go
False.
Ahead.
False. They have talent.
All right, so we're playing Reed. We're playing your brother this week in the first round of the playoffs. You got any pointers? What your brother's weakness?
Yeah, sure.
Your brother's weakness. Let's hear it.
He's all right. Can't dribble with his left hand.
Can't dribble his left hand. Got it.
He's got it.
I'm writing notes right now. Bad radio. I'm showing you guys my notes. Bad radio. Okay.
Severe anger management issues.
Okay. Yep. Get in his head.
So if you get down, then he's done.
Throw him a couple elbows to the gut.
Throw him bows. Yep.
Make sure the ref isn't looking.
Yep.
You know
what he's reffing. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Whatever.
Worst ref in history of ref. I mean, he misses so many calls. I hope you're listening, Woody.
He actually talks to me on the sidelines when he's supposed to be reffing games.
Oh yeah. He's not. Woody doesn't pay attention.
No,
he's just there for the good times and for the.
He's sad that his friend Mark left him.
Oh
Marcus
yeah,
Mono.
He's in a little bit of depression right now. But we're not talking about Woody here. We're talking about Biddy. Reed, Golden Grizzlies. Right now, I'm going to say you're the favorite to win. You are the number one seed. You haven't lost yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you do lose, it'd be quite the upset.
How do you attack these games knowing that everybody's out to get you? You haven't lost yet.
Just like Unified, you have a big target on your back.
Well, I already know that my team's like the bad boys of the league. We're like...
Yeah, you guys got some pretty bad boys on your team. Taveem,
Shout out to Veeam. Shout out to Veeam.
Veeam.
Money team, baby.
Veeam God.
Colby Martel. Bad boy of the league.
He's pretty tough.
Charlie Speaker. That's a bad boy if I've ever seen
you. You have one of our former players, Eric Flynn.
I'm publicly announcing that Charlie Speaker told me that he will miss a lot of the playoffs due to soccer.
Wow.
We're not afraid of losing
him. That's a big loss.
That is. But, you know, Peyton's got to start shooting better.
Peyton's soft.
Like, pretty much, this is what's going to happen. We're going to attack every game like we always have. We go out there. We know we're the most athletic. We know that we were the last pick in the draft for a reason.
Is that why you were losing to the Bakers at one point?
We forget about that because I was a W anyway, so it doesn't matter. We're just going to attack it hard. You know, like...
You guys cherry pick big time.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That is...
That's how you get half your points.
LaMelo Ball does it. He got 92.
Yeah,
he's going to UCLA.
That's not how you play basketball.
Where am
that's
I going?
Fake basketball.
Where are my commits?
Who knows? Oakland, Golden Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah, University of Oakland, Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
Fine. Send me out there.
Final question for the both of you guys.
Mingle.
Final question for the both of you guys.
All right.
I want you to talk about how great your captains are. Jeff, let's start with you.
The fact that you just called me soft earlier kind of makes me not want to talk to you.
That was Stuart.
But Mitchell Roy, he's the best captain I've ever played for. I mean, he outdoes Wheeler. Oh, my God. He's such
Wheeler.
A better captain.
Oh, don't be hating on Wheeler. I love Wheeler.
He told me I was the worst big man in the league earlier. So, Mitch, he's got a game plan all the time. He calls some questionable timeouts, but they work. Wheeler, he's a good kid. I know him pretty well.
Mad floater game. Got Wheeler's floaters. Best floaters in the league.
Best floater in the league.
Yep.
Cole Wheeler, right? Not Zach?
No, Zach Wheeler. Nope. No, Zach Wheeler.
Cole Wheeler.
Wheeler, Zach. Best floaters in the league.
Cole does.
Real quick, we don't have a lot of time. Reed?
All right. One take.
Talk about Steven. Let's give us some.
Yeah. Steven.
Good thing about Steven. One good thing.
He's always having fun.
He's fun. That's our motto in Biddy.
He's fun to play with. Yeah.
If you have fun, you won.
Okay, yeah. So then we're 11-0. Okay, great. Thank you.
No, you suck. You're 0-11.
Except we don't have fun if we don't win the championship.
True. Winning equals fun. So, all right. Thanks, guys, for coming on. Jeffrey.
Good time.
We had a good time. It was good
interview.
Thank
you for having
us. I have a dog.
Come back anytime. Welcome back to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. And we have a new guest here, skiing, alpine skiing. It's not Nordic skiing. They're a lot better. Champions, right?
Four-time champion, Jack Berge. State individual champion in both the slalom and giant slalom.
That's right.
Jack Berge. Berge, welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you.
So let's get into this. Fourth year in a row. Fifth year in a row.
Fifth year.
Right? Your fourth championship every year. You guys have won a state championship.
Is there any competition, or are you guys just, like, unbelievable?
No, there is quite a bit of competition, especially this year. Portsmouth and Concord were right behind us, and BG wasn't far behind them. So,
well, BG doesn't count, because they were, like, recruit players.
We have our beef with BG. BG stinks. That's a known fact.
Yep.
They lost Wednesday in the boys' hockey game. They're going to lose again Saturday in the
girls'
varsity basketball championship.
Yep.
So BG stinks. Yep, we've established that. So this season, talk a little bit about how the season went overall. Was there any doubt in your mind that you guys weren't going to win the championship?
I think for a little bit there's quite a bit of doubt. The beginning of the year, two of our seniors got cut, and it kind of brought the team down.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Zach, right now we're in Jack Heaps. Call out real quick.
Yeah. Our good friends. Good friends of the show, long-time award-winning listeners.
Big sports guys,
yep. Zach had a nice moment yesterday on Twitter. A picture we captured here on Bedford 105.1 of him holding a sign that said sports.
Upside down.
We meant to give him a shout-out for Jury of the Week for that. We forgot. But here we are. Now in the Berge discussion here, Jury of the Week, Zach Rittenour. Okay. But talk about the loss of your two good friends, two boot warmers.
Yeah,
Zach Rittenour and Jack Heaps.
So they didn't race in a lot of the races because they were on the B team, but
that's all right.
Yeah, they had a lot bigger of a part on the team than a lot of people thought. They brought a lot of the spirit to the team.
Yeah, cheerleaders.
Yeah,
it's always good to have some nice cheerleaders.
Yeah, they kept the spirit up, so losing them was pretty tough, and it took a couple weeks for the team to come together. But towards the end, we really came together, and that's when we really thought that we could go 5 in a row.
Awesome. So, as we mentioned before, first place in both major events, right? There's only slalom and giant slalom. Winner of best in the state in both of those races. How does that feel?
Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels awesome.
No words, just feels good.
Feels awesome.
It's were those races close?
Not
really. You blew everybody out of the water.
In skiing, what's close? Like, because I know in swimming, it's like 0.1 seconds, like, you know, big right, difference. Right. Like, what's skiing?
Yeah, so a lot of the races are won by just like hundredths of seconds.
Wow.
Tenths of seconds, and
not for you though.
Yeah, no.
Not for you. Full seconds? Do we win by a full second here?
Yeah.
Wow.
GS, I won by 1.6 seconds, and then slalom, I won by 1.6.
Yeah, I think you could.
Or, no, 1.9.
I think you could have done a little better, personally.
Yeah. Come on, maybe. Man.
Couldn't have gotten 2 seconds? Come on.
It was a short course.
Sure. So the mountains. I'm a skier myself. I'm not very amazing. I don't race. I've never raced at all. I'm not the best skier. But
You get out there.
I have a good time. Talk about the difference between racing and just leisurely skiing.
Because you got out there like a few weeks ago, where it was Colorado, right?
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit later, but let's talk about this first.
There's a lot more that goes into racing. So a lot of people, when they just leisurely ski, they're just out there for fun, obviously. Yep. And when it comes to racing, there's a lot more that goes into the turn and everything. Like, everything has to be set in order to gain speed and stuff, and a lot of people don't see that. But, racing takes a lot of practice and a lot of hard work to get it fixed right, but leisurely skiing, you can just kind of go out there and do whatever you want.
Yeah, have some fun. So let's get back to the championships. You won 4 every year. Which one was the sweetest?
And why?
Was it this year?
And why?
I mean, they got sweeter every year. Last year was awesome. I don't know why. It just felt really good. But I guess this year was a lot of fun based on the fact that we all kind of really missed Zach Ritenour and Jack Heaps on the team. Yeah. Zach got out to the state championship.
Yeah,
he came
to
support us, which was awesome. This one was awesome because I came home with both golds. And being a senior, it was awesome to walk out with 4 in a row.
Where was the state championship held?
This
McIntyre?
This year's at Sunapee.
I don't know. I don't know the mountain besides McIntyre. That's what I mean.
You actually gave the wrong answer for which one is the sweetest. The correct answer is the next one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That was my last one, though.
I know, right.
So for that, maybe.
College, racing in college, has that ever crossed your mind? I mean, if you're the best skier in the state of New Hampshire,
well,
I would assume you could if you wanted to, maybe.
Well, the thing about ski racing is there's high school racing, and then there's USSA racing and FIS racing.
Yeah.
So high school racing it's still pretty serious. Like, there's USSA racers that do it.
Yeah.
And I do USSA and FIS, or I don't do FIS races, but USSA is where there's the kids that go to the academies and stuff, and that's kind of how you get noticed for colleges.
Okay.
And so there are other kids that go to the ski academies, and they're usually pretty good.
Right.
And I only get to ski on the weekends.
Anyone else do that from Bedford?
Sophia Dabrowski does it, Ellen Harnsberger, and then a couple of the freshmen. There's a bunch of them.
Right. I used to go up to Sunday River every year, and there's Gould Academy up there. That's a big ski school.
Yeah. So,
stuff like that. That's where you get looked.
Yeah. There's a few colleges that I could ski for, but a lot of the big D1 schools, not a lot of them are Americans anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Kind of makes you think a little bit, right?
Kind of makes you think.
Right?
All right. So you've been on the team all 4 years at BHS. Who is the best skier besides yourself that you've raced with?
On the team?
On the team, yeah.
On the team.
On the team, it'd definitely be Aiden Wheeler. The kid was insane.
Yeah. He graduated a couple years ago. I remember, did he win both races too?
He did. Yeah, I think he did.
I think he did.
Does he still ski?
Yeah.
He skis club, but not.
Okay.
And see, that just shows like the difference between like high school and college is that a lot of people, like, especially like you see other sports like basketball, all like the greatest basketball players for each team, they don't go on to play college, and it's not even just a choice. Sometimes they just don't even make the college team.
Right.
Right. And if you have the best skier in like New Hampshire, right, still might not make their college team. Sometimes it's a choice, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. So right now I'm probably going to go to University of Colorado at Boulder.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And good school.
So I think most of the kids on that team are from Finland. And
wow.
They're just Finland. Yeah, they're insane.
Finland's a skiing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I only know one skier. It's a Henrik Harlo guy, right?
Yeah, he's not a racer, though.
He's not a racer?
No.
What does he do?
He races, he does park.
Oh, yeah. That's not racing?
Park's different.
Yeah. Park is different. is he from Finland?
Either Finland or Sweden. I think he's from Sweden.
The only Henrik I know is Henrik Lundqvist. He's from Sweden. So I'd assume he's from Sweden. But yeah, that's funny. You don't think of Finland as a skiing country. You think of more like Switzerland, France.
Yeah. So if I end up out there, I might
Sweden.
Might join the club team.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, or I might try and
ski on the Big Mountain ski team, which is just kind of backcountry skiing and stuff like that.
That's
move
cool.
away from racing.
Yeah, that's always good because it's competitive, but it's not like it's your life.
It's just
like if you were on the varsity team.
Different kind of skiing.
Yeah. So we weren't fortunate enough to be able to bring a representative from the girls team today in. So could you talk a little bit about the girls season? How did they finish this year?
They had a great season. It was a tough loss in the state championship. They came in. They still came runner up, but it was pretty close. It came down to a couple of. There was one unsportsmanlike conduct that got one of the girls disqualified. And
no name names, right? No, we're not naming
no names. No names. And I don't think we tried to do the math. It didn't seem like they still would have won if she didn't get disqualified. But either way, it's still a tough loss, even if because they questioned that the whole time. But
yeah.
They still did really well. Pinkerton they had a lot of good skiers.
So Pinkerton won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big school. Once again,
right. I know.
Once again, Bedford always have a target on their back, but Pinkerton, they have like 4,000, 5,000, maybe 10,000 kids.
Yeah, who knows how many kids are at Pinkerton.
Right, they might be hiding some in the closet.
It's an insane number. So you mentioned Sophia Dabrowski earlier. She's pretty good.
Yeah, she came in second, I think, in both races. Yeah, she came in second in both races, and then she moved on to top 10 from each race, gets to move on to meet a champion.
Okay.
And she came in first in one of those events and second in the other one.
So how, sounds kind of similar to like track and cross country, the way it's scored. Yeah. Does it go the same as like how a Nordic race would be scored or no?
I haven't really paid attention to Nordic race.
And they had like a scoring system, like 199, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
like.
So first place comes in, the person who comes in first place gets 100 points.
Yeah.
Okay, second comes in 99, the same way. Yeah. All right, so growing up, who was your idol? Ski idol. I know Bodie Miller.
I know Henrik Harlow. Was he your idol?
No, Henrik Harlow is new.
So Bodie Miller is the representative, New Hampshire's own. Was he your idol growing up? Is that kind of the guy you looked up to?
For when I was really little, he was. And then once I got into high school, it switched over to Ted Ligety because I started being a better GS skier. And so he was like, he's the best GS skier out there right now.
Yep.
And over the past like 2 or 3 years, it was kind of a mix between Ted Ligety and then moving into Axel and Spindle. He's the man. I love that guy. But
foreign guy, right?
Yeah,
foreign
he's from
guy.
Norway.
I know
gotta
Ted
be a foreign
Ligety.
Guy.
Ted Ligety's American. I know him.
Yep.
Don't know Axel
Lundspindle.
Axel Henrik Harlow.
Where is he from?
He's from Norway. He keeps getting hurt though. So it's when he's on, he's and not hurt, he's like the best in the world, but he's been getting hurt a lot lately. So it's fun to see him come back. He's gotten hurt the past 3 seasons and he come back and still wins races.
So like what do you watch for skiing? Is it the X Games? Like what do they do? Like what is it? Is it like, you know, like how do you watch the skiing? Like what inspires you to, you know, keep going?
To keep going, I guess I got into skiing because my parents both raced and they just brought us up like that. And so when I was little, to be honest, I didn't like ski racing. Huh. I really just hated it. I always tried to skip it. And
you just like skiing for fun.
Yeah. And thankfully, my parents kept, they didn't push me to keep doing it. They just, they wanted me to keep doing it, but they didn't make me do
it.
But they still tried to get me out there, and I'm thankful that they did because I love skiing. It's my favorite thing to do. So,
yeah.
So you said you like going out for fun. You did go out for fun a few weeks ago, Colorado.
With one of your good friends, Zach Rittenauer, who you brought up earlier.
Mr. Sports over there. So I saw something, your ski season apparently ended right in Colorado. Mind explaining this? Don't go too into depth about the injury. I heard a little about it. I mean, just tell us.
A little bit.
It went on pause. Because I still have the USSA racing outside of high school racing, so I still get to race still. But so we were just skiing out in Colorado, second day. We were skiing down through the trees, and Zach was following me pretty close, and I didn't know he was following me.
Oh, because he's B team, so he's like, you know, he's not way behind you.
No,
here he is.
I just figured,
trying to get on the A team.
I just figured he was in a a different lane or something. But so I hit a little jump, I skied a little bit, and then I stopped. And as soon as I stopped, I turned and I saw his body coming very fast at me. And so I kind of put my arm up and I just took the hit with my arm and I kind of did a flip and he face planted, slipped through the powder. And my dad saw the whole thing. He said it was horrific, but I got up onto my knees. Luckily, the snow was soft. And at first, I was a little shaken up, but the pain didn't really start to hit me until like a minute later. And then my mom got down there. And she called for ski patrol, like up to the lift the people on the lift because it was right under the lift.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then she said, no, you're not fine. Yeah. And so she kind of like made me sit down. And after I sat down, it was like a minute or two after, and it really started to hit my elbow. It felt like my elbow was broken.
Come on, Rittenhour. Rittenhour just doing Rittenhour. Like, can we blame Rittenhour for this? All like completely.
It happens. So, it happens.
No, we're Rittenhour. Your fault.
And so then my leg started really hurting, and Rittenhour, he felt really bad. He started going into kind of like shock because he thought he hurt me so bad. And Ski Patrol got down there. They were checking out me, and originally they thought two broken legs and a broken arm. And then I kept saying, I think my leg's cut. So they looked, they opened my pants up, and his ski went into my leg. And I went through all but one layer of tissue above my bone. Yeah. So it was about a millimeter away.
I think I saw a picture of that. Yeah, it was not pretty. All right. So we got
transitioning.
So we got to wrap things up.
Oh man! All right,
we're gonna end things on a more lighter note.
Everyone, take a deep breath.
take a deep breath. So this is that guy. You guys are best of friends.
Yeah.
Even after the accident. So
Jerry, Zach Rittenhour.
Zach Rittenhour, Jerry. So here we go. Exit interview. When are you planning on asking Zach to prom?
I'm not asking Zach to prom.
Not asking Zach to prom.
Not like that. No.
That's disappointing. All right. Well, thanks, Bergie, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We had a good time.
Very good time. Come on anytime you want.
Shout out to the boot warmers.
But anyways, that's it for this episode of the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. If you happen to miss any of the show today, or would just like to listen to a little more, follow us on Instagram at Weekend Windup. That's one word, at Weekend Windup. Or look us up at www.podbean.com on the 105.1 WBNH page. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Weekend Windup for any updates and possibly even some fun videos to really brighten up your day. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And remember, Bedford,
stay classy.